Going straight away to the Middle East, where the Israeli Defence Forces say they have killed 15 Hezbollah members in Bint Jebel in southern Lebanon. This is close to Camp Shamrock, where Ireland's UN soldiers are based. Within the past short while, there have been reports of a number of explosions in Beirut. 2 days on, how Israel intends to respond to the Iranian missile attack remains unclear. So there's plenty to talk about this lunchtime. Our deputy foreign editor, Edmund Heafy, is in the West Bank, and he's been telling me what Israel is saying about its operations in Lebanon.
Well, Rachel, the Israeli military is saying that it conducted an airstrike on a municipality building in the southern Lebanese town of Bint Jebel. They're saying that strike took out 15 Hezbollah members. And that followed an earlier strike in Beirut earlier this morning. And as it tends to do so, Israel described that one as a precision strike. But we're hearing from Lebanese authorities that the death toll there is 9. And then we're also hearing from a Hezbollah-linked group that 7 of its staff, including 2 medics, were killed there. The Israeli army is saying that it has killed up to 60 Hezbollah operatives in the past day. That includes the 15 deaths that it just announced. And then it has also instructed residents of 25 additional villages in southern Lebanon to evacuate today.
Is it any clearer 2 days on how Israel is going to respond to Iran?
I don't think so, Rachel, and that's partly because there's a major Jewish holiday at the moment called Rosh Hashanah. It's one of the major Jewish celebrations, and it's one of the holiest days of the year. So much of Israel is shut down today. There's not much coming out from the Israeli government. And then internationally, we have talked, especially from the US, about coordinating a response to Iran's attack on Israel. So I would be surprised if we saw anything today or tomorrow. And then we get into Shabbat here in Israel, which is 2 days over the weekend. So we probably won't have something over the next few days.
Our deputy foreign editor, Edmund Heafy. Let's go now to Beirut and to our correspondent, Fran McNulty. Fran, will we start with the situation in the south of the country, invaded by Israel 2 days ago? What's been happening over the past few hours?
Well, really intense fighting there in the past couple of hours, Rachel. Hezbollah coming face to face with the IDF. In fact, they came within around 5 kilometres of Camp Shamrock, where we know that several hundred Irish soldiers are hunkered down trying to escape the fighting that has been going on. And there is an intensity to that. We also have been hearing, of course, that a Red Cross convoy was fired upon by the IDF. That has been widely criticised here. The Lebanese Red Cross saying they're simply trying to get people injured out and they don't appreciate that kind of behaviour. So you're seeing that happen in the south, and a massive number of rockets being fired from the south into northern Israel this morning, sirens warning sounding across the morning. And all the while, we're seeing the Israeli assaults here on Beirut. I can tell you, Rachel, that within the past half an hour or so, 4 large explosions happened within around 2 kilometres of where we are now, into the south of the city, and in the mountain range above us, a huge explosion as a missile hit what is undoubtedly some sort of Hezbollah facility there.
Many of the Israeli airstrikes on Lebanon have been on South Beirut, but there have also been strikes on the centre of the city. A number of people killed overnight. What's it like there today?
It's extraordinary. When we arrived in here last night, we heard a number of explosions in that southern district of the city. And that, Rachel, is just a very short distance away from the airport. I'm standing looking across the water towards the airport. Daya, that suburb, is just to the left of it, the mountains above it. And however, like, that has been cleared out. It is a ghost town. It's a Hezbollah stronghold that people have cleared out of because they know for all the strikes that it has had, it is going to get more in the coming days. But that cruise missile, which was launched from the Mediterranean into the centre of Beirut, has really set people thinking here. It is a change. A residential facility above a clinic hit, 9 people dead at this point. And many people now fearing that we could see more of that. That, you know, there was almost like a false blanket of comfort, thinking, well, it is the outer reaches of the city that are being hit. We are now seeing downtown areas close to the parliament being struck by a cruise missile, as in the case last night, and many fearing that after the assaults we've just seen in the past couple of minutes, that we're going to have more of that through the afternoon and, of course, at night, which is the time, 5-6 o'clock, everybody expects things to kick off.
What sort of impact is this having on life in the city? Because during normal times, Beirut is a very lively, buzzy place.
It's a very vibrant, quite cosmopolitan city, a party town, if you want to call it that. It is very different. Many of the large hotels, resorts, clubs, bars are closed. Some of them have been given over to displaced people who are coming up from the south, who have simply have nowhere to go. I'm standing looking at a beach, Rachel, and I can see 10 or 15 tents. I've seen people sleeping in their cars around the city who simply either have nowhere to go or no money to go anywhere. And also, at the same time, a tension in several neighbourhoods. Reports of a TV crew set upon last night in one district when they went in after an explosion. Some of them were seriously injured. And a mob, as you could only describe it, a militia of sorts, set upon them, dragged them up the street. So you have that tension in certain areas of the city as well. At the same time, Rachel, you have many people trying to go about their lives as normal, drink coffee, have lunch and meet friends.
A significant number of people have left southern Lebanon. Now, we know some people have gone to Syria, some people have gone elsewhere in Lebanon, but an awful lot of them are now in Beirut. How is that affecting the city?
The problem with it is because you have no structure here. You have no government. There is nobody to take care of them, Rachel. So you can imagine, as we saw in the case of Ukraine, and I followed many of those refugees across the Ukrainian border when the war broke out there. Services were there. State agencies were there. There was a coordination around accommodation, around food, around health. These people have nothing. They are literally getting in their cars and driving north, arriving in Beirut, many of them, with not much money. And charities are having to take up the mantle and try and take care of them as best they can. Some restaurants closing down, operating as food kitchens, effectively been funded by international charities. That's the reality of what's happening here. And that's why we have people sleeping in cars and sleeping on beaches, because there is no support structure in Lebanon. There is no effective functioning government to take care of them.
People are accustomed in Beirut to turmoil, upheaval, to death. Many of the older people in the city will have lived through the civil war. Then there was also the war in 2006. What are they saying about the situation now?
I was talking to somebody yesterday and another person this morning who, you know, everybody talks about 2006 and what happened. And what they say is, this is less predictable this time out. You have an Israeli prime minister who appears not to heed even his strongest allies in the United States, who basically mocks the UN. And that is a concern, that there is no control over the Israeli situation, that they feel they need to exact revenge on Iran for the large volume of missiles it fired in the direction of Israel on Tuesday. You know, they talk about the entire Israeli nation having to go underground for a period of time. They don't like that. They don't like when their borders are compromised. They don't like when they're attacked on their own soil. That's why they're pushing up into South Lebanon. And many people fearful as to how far they will go, to what extent they will try and deal with that 60-kilometer distance off the border between southern Lebanon and northern Israel. What they'll do in that area, Rachel, how far they will go, will they exact a Gaza-type campaign there? People simply don't know. And then when they are taking the war to Beirut and possibly beyond that with airstrikes in other countries in the Middle East, it really is a point of concern. And people are worried, quite frankly. And it's the not knowing, I think, that's worse for them, especially those who have to live here.
Fran, thank you very much for that. That was our correspondent, Fran McNulty, who's in the Lebanese capital, Beirut.